And this is our last night of Camp Meeting 2010, Baton Rouge Life Tabernacle. A lot of great things have happened already this week. Amen. So many good things. We've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want to say to all the cooks, the cleaners, amen, those that have put time and endless effort into this meeting, that your work and labor for love will not go unrewarded. Amen. I love good people, and I love faithful people that love and put their time, money, and efforts into good church. Amen. You can't have church without the church. Praise the Lord. Thank God for good preaching and good singing, but thank God for faithful people that come to the house of God and make good camp meeting what it is. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5 and verse number 5 tonight. 1 Peter 5 and 5. I will not hold you long. Man, we've got a lot of good food and some more time of fellowship. Is everybody still half awake tonight? Amen. I know they haven't run the aisles quite as much tonight as we have the past three services. You haven't jumped quite as high, and that has nothing to do with your love and praise, but it has to do with these old bodies wear out. Amen. But that's why we only have four camp meeting services instead of seven. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That revelation is more than just a young man being in submission to an older man, but it has everything to do with this elder man serving the younger man through the new birth experience. And I'm having you glad that you've been born again in Jesus' name through water and Holy Ghost infilling. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated tonight. I want to preach to us tonight. This may be a little different from the past three services. Man, tonight, but I want to reach for somebody and throw out the lifeline on this last night of camp meeting in Baton Rouge. I want to say tonight that I feel the awesome power of the Holy Ghost in this service. There's no telling what God wants to do in the next few moments. It's in order at any time during this message to come to this altar, repent of your sins, and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to preach to us tonight about one little word called pride. Pride. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6 and verse 17, that there are six things that God hated. Yea, seven things are an abomination unto God. And that one thing that topped the list of the six things that God hates, and seven things that are an abomination or disgusting is what that word means, was this little word called pride. Pride topped the list. I want to tell us a story this evening, and that is a story about a kite called pride. The kite called pride must have a fall. My waking dreams are best concealed, much folly and little good they yield. But now and then I gain while sleeping a friendly hint that's worth the keeping. Lately I dreamt of one who cried, beware of self and beware of pride. And when thou art prone to build a Babel, recall to mind this little fable. Once upon a time a paper kite was mounted to a wondrous height, where, giddy with its elevation, it thus expressed self-admiration. See how yon crowds of gazing people admire my flight above this steeple. How would they wonder if they knew all that a kite like me could do? Were I but free, he said, I'd take my flight and pierce the clouds beyond their sight. All but like a poor prisoner bound, my string confines me near the ground. I'd soar the towering eagle's wings, he said, were I but free from my string. It tugged and pulled while thus it spoke. To break the strings, at last they broke. Free at once from all its stay, in vain it tried to soar away. Unable its own weight to bear, it fluttered downward through the air. Unable its own course to guide, it plunged deep into the tide. Oh, foolish kite, thou hadst no wing. How could you have flown without a string? My heart replied, oh, Lord, I see how this little kite resembles me. Forgetting that by thee I stand, and impatient of thy ruling hand, how oft I would have broken the lines, thy wisdom for my lot assigns, and how oft indulged a vain desire for something more, for something higher. And but for love and grace divine, a fall thus dreadful had been mine. Amen. This little kite called pride has taken a fall, and a fall that it could not recover from. Amen. Pride tops the list of the 6 things that God hates and 7 things that are an abomination to Him. And I tell you that pride is a destroyer of men. Pride is a destroyer of marriages. I've seen great marriages that had promise, great marriages that were founded upon the right principles, but somewhere, some heart, one party or the other, the man or the woman, got lifted up in pride, and because of pride, I've seen great marriages that ended in divorce. Amen. I've seen pride in homes. And homes were broken up because of this little thing called pride. I've seen churches destroyed because of this little thing called pride. I've seen ministers and preachers and great ministries and great singers all destroyed because of this one little word called pride. Amen. Take a little journey with me tonight through the book of Proverbs, and let's see what the wisdom writer had to say about this thing called pride. In verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter 11, he said, when pride comes, know this, that pride is the prerequisite for shame. Proverbs 13 and 10, that only by pride cometh contention, strife, and anger. In Proverbs 14 and 3, he said that by the rod of pride, a fool is brought low. In 16 and 18, he said that pride goeth before destruction. Amen. The prerequisite for destruction. The thing that will destroy a man. The thing that will destroy a marriage. The thing that will destroy finances and relationships in familial terms is this little word called pride. Because pride cometh before destruction. Chapter 29 and 23 said that a man's pride shall bring him low. Chapter 28 and verse 25 said that a proud look stirs up strife. Amen. People who don't learn about this word, humility, and about humbling themselves and submitting themselves, get lifted up in pride. And can I tell you tonight that pride is the number one destroyer of our nation. The reason that 2 out of 3 marriages are winding up in the divorce court in our nation tonight is because of one little word called pride. Because somebody said, I'm too proud and I'm all wrapped up in a big old me, myself, and I. And I will not condescend to tell you that I'm sorry, but through their pride, they get lifted up and harbor painful recollections of something that may have happened in yesterday, in yesteryear perhaps, and they cannot get rid of that bitterness and anger and strife, and they get so proud and stuck on themselves that they cannot bring themselves to forgive another party. And people that are backslidden from this city tonight, and I know men that died and went to hell because they were too proud to come back to the church. And they were too proud to go back to the altar because people knew where I've been and people know the things that I've done. And I was too big and I was too proud and I was too lifted up to say, I'll go back to that church. I know it's right I know I've got to live right. I know I've got to be faithful to the house of God. I know that I've got to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know that there's only one plan of salvation. I know there's only one God. I know there's only one way to see God, and that's a holy, righteous, sanctified life. But I'm just too proud, they said, to go back to that church. Amen. I know men that were too proud to give one dime of every dollar that they make to the house of God, because their proud mind and their proud look said that I just don't understand giving a hard-earned money to a preacher to do the things that which he would please to do with them. Amen. And because of their pride and they got lifted up, those men are in hell tonight and died away from the church. But not only their pride destroyed them, but it destroyed their marriage. And it destroyed their children. And they've got great-grandchildren in this city tonight that don't know the first thing about the apostolic church. All because of this one little word called pride. Amen. Let me preach to you tonight that you don't need to be so proud. And you don't need to get lifted up in pride, because pride is a destroyer. And pride is sending you to hell. And pride will take your family to hell. Amen. Whatever you got to do to swallow your stinking pride, say, I'm not going to be so exalted and suck on myself that I can't make my way back to the house of God and repent of my sins and say, God, I'm here to humble myself. God, I'm here to submit myself. I wonder if somebody hears this preacher tonight. Amen. I've come with a convicting message to tell you, pride goeth before destruction. This little word called pride is a kite that might fly on its own for a little while, and you might make it out there in the world for a little while, and you might make it out without the church and without the preacher for a little while. Amen. But you don't have any wings. You don't have anything without the string that's called the house of God, and that's called the word of God. Amen. You better stay anchored in the church. I said you better stay anchored right here. It don't matter who said what about you. It don't matter who lied on you. It don't matter who gossiped about you. You better swallow your pride. You better kill this old flesh and say, I'm going to get right with God tonight. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 3. What we need to learn to do is take me off the throne. I'm too proud to go back to that altar. I'm too proud to go back to that church. I'll go to any other church in this city, they say. And I've heard it with my ears come from their own mouth. Amen. And speaking from their lips, I'll go to any church in this city. But I won't go back to that church. Let me just serve notice on this tape and to this church and to everybody that might want to get it out tonight. Amen. If you're too proud and lifted up with a pride and a haughty look to come back to this church that you left when you backslid. Amen. You're not right with God until you're right with man. Don't try to go to another church. Don't try to get right somewhere else. You got to get back to the fountain. I said you got to get back where you can't be right with God till you're right with man. Amen. Don't tell me you repented until you come back to man and make it right with man. Don't tell me how good you're living till you get it right with me. Amen. Yes. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 1. Amen. Isaiah is writing. Jeremiah was known as the reaping prophet. This man Isaiah is writing to a backslidden nation. Woe to the crown of pride in 28 and 1, to the drunkard of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which is a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing shall cast down to the earth with a hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden underfoot. Amen. The Ephraimites, the Moabites, nobody should have ever been proud to be identified with those two nations. Nobody should have ever wanted to be be recognizable as an Ephraimite or as a Moabite. Amen. Number one, the Moabite is people. You may know them as the product of the incestual affair of a man called Lot with his two daughters. Amen. And they didn't only call him their grandfather, but they called Lot their father. Amen. They weren't proud of their heritage. They weren't proud that their daddy was their granddaddy. They weren't proud. They were ashamed for a little while. Amen. But right here in the book of Isaiah 28, somewhere in their life, somebody got lifted up. Amen. And they forgot. They forgot. And a crown of pride got on their head. And the Bible said in verse number 11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Amen. Your pride is going to destroy you because you wouldn't hear the preacher and because you wouldn't hear the word of God. I'm going to talk to you through the tongue of the Chaldeans. Amen. They're going to bring you into captivity for 70 years. Amen. Because you won't hear this preacher tonight and because folks in this city are backslidden and won't hear this preacher preach from the word of God. How do you like me now? God's fixing to talk to you with a stammering lip and another tongue. Amen. And you're going to have hell on earth and you're going to have confusion and you're going to have everything ungodly under the sun all because of this one little word called pride. Amen. Pride. Yes. And now, because they're in the land of Babylon and 70 years of captivity. Amen. 70 years. Isaiah 25 and 10. Moab, your history. Amen. Somewhere they got proud of their heritage. Somewhere they got proud of who they were. Amen. And when they got lifted up and exalted, And it was who they were at that time, the Bible said the first thing that happened when they got to the nation of Babylon was that Chaldean king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar changed their identity. Everything that meant anything to them, he wiped it out. Amen. Everything was lost when they went into captivities in the nation of Babylon. Amen. You're here tonight. You might make it a little while. You might make it a little while with your proud, haughty look. Amen. But know this, the devil's going to change your identity. You're going to lose everything that means anything to you. Amen. You better kill pride. You better kill a proud look. You're too proud to dance. You're too proud to worship. You're too proud to clap your hands. You're too proud to cry. You're too proud. You're too proud. You're too proud to back up the preacher. You're too proud. You're too proud to repent. You're too proud to get in the water. You're too proud to pray through to the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're afraid of what folks will say about you. Amen. One night in hell won't mean anything. If you got pride in your life, kill pride tonight. How do you like me now? The stammering lips. I know that's talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's twofold meaning in Scripture. Stammering lips in another tongue. Imagine going to a strange nation. Imagine going to a third world country where you don't know their customs, where you don't know. You don't have a prime minister. You don't have a liaison. You don't have an embassy that you can go to and they can fight for you. But with stammering lips and another tongue, they spoke to the people of God. The God, they didn't understand the judgments of God. Everything that meant anything to them was lost. All because they got lifted up in pride. And they said, we want to be like everybody else. They went to marrying the heathens around them. They went to worshiping the idol gods around them. And when they did their proud look, God said that I'm going to bring you now. And I'm talking to somebody tonight. Amen. It may be one or it may be a few somebodies. It may be somebody that's not even in this house tonight. But I want to preach to you and know that God is going to talk to you because you won't hear the preacher, because you won't hear the altar call. God's going to take everything from you that you think means everything to you. Amen. Your proud look is going to destroy you. Your pride is going to bring you low. Your pride is a rod that'll break your back. Your pride will make you lose your family. Your pride will make you lose your finances. Your pride will make you... God, help us to kill our pride tonight.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pride. I like the proud. I like the good suits. I like the nice cars. I like the nice homes. Amen. I like to preach the big meetings. I like all that. And the pride lifts them up. Amen. But for every young minister, amen, that feels his calling, that wants to preach, that wants a pulpit ministry, let me tell you that the prerequisite for being used is just being there. The prerequisite for being used mightily of God is just being there. Being there when the lights are on. Being there when you're sick. Being there when you don't feel like being there. Being there when it means turning down some overtime. Being there when it's cleaning day. I'm too proud. I'm too good. Amen. Can I tell you that for every sermon I've preached, I've cleaned 100 toilets. For every message I've ever, for every conference I've preached, I've knocked on 1,000 doors. For every Lord bless you, you preached a good message, I've had 100 devils look at me in the eye, and red-eyed monsters, and green-eyed devils, and say, I hate you, and they've cussed me to my face, and they've come against my family and my children. Oh, but all you see is the good times, and all you see is the oh, let me tell you, kill your pride. Oh, the only way up is down. The bigger you get in your eyes, the smaller you get in God's eyes. But the smaller you get in your eyes, the bigger you get in God's eyes. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Oh, you'll never see me cleaning the church. You'll never see me changing light bulbs. You'll never see me cleaning out a ditch. You'll never see me unstopping a toilet. Your pride is going to bring you low. Amen. The criteria for being used is just being there. Disciples. Oh, yes. Acts, the first chapter. And they quoted it tonight. But it was time to replace this Judas Iscariot, that traitor, that backbiter who sold the Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. It's time to replace you, Judas. And the disciples said, Peter and 10 more got together and said, it's time to replace him. We need 12. Jesus said we need 12. But here's the criteria. It had to be somebody who was there when he broke the fish and the loaves. It was had to be somebody who didn't just hear about it. Amen. Thank God for the internet. And thank God for live streaming the preaching. And thank God for the tape ministry, but you can't take the place of being there. You can't take the place of being in a hot service. Amen. I'm telling you, just be there. Just be faithful. We got to have somebody, but it ain't just hearsay. It had to be somebody who was there to see the deaf ears unstopped. It had to be somebody who was there to see the blinded eyes open. It had to be somebody who was there when he raised the dead. Amen. There's some things you can't get and do by hearing about it. Amen. You got to be there. I can't tell you how good Friday night was. You just had to be here. I can't tell you how good Saturday night was. You just had to be here. Just be right here. I'm too proud. The preacher called me and said I need to be in church, but I was too proud. Amen. I got lifted up. I'm not changing my plans. Let me tell you, kill your pride. Crucify your flesh. Bring it under subjection and get right with God tonight. Pride. You'll never see me crying. I'm a grown man. Come on, boys. Let's go to hell together. Come on. Let's shoot our dope together. Come on. Let's get out of the church together. Let's do our own thing together. Come on. Let's get out of here. Let's all go to hell together. Amen. In your pride, because a preacher said you better get right with God. You better run to this altar. Amen. I prayed with a man last year at the National Youth Gathering we're going to this week. Amen. And I felt led of the Holy Ghost as I laid hands on him, and very stiff and cold and starchy and very dignified. I said, if you'll just let tears shed down your face right now,
shall God will fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he looked at me, but it was cold and it was dead and there was no life there. I said, I'm telling you, you better kill your pride. If you're too big to cry, God ain't going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you won't be broken, God can't bless you. Amen. Before he blessed the loaves and the fishes, he broke them. But when he broke them, he blessed them. And when he blessed them, he multiplied them. When he multiplied them, people were filled. He didn't do it that night. Amen. But it was fun and games all night. And the last night of the conference came and I looked at him again. I said, it ain't changed from last night. The Word of God don't change. I said, the Word of God don't change. And while I'm on that, amen, and I may get to it, I might not. But I told him, I said, if you shed tears right now. And the first tear came out of his eye and he began to cry furiously, amen, and uproariously tears began to come out of his eyes. And immediately the heavenly language came into his mouth. And he was birthed in the Spirit. And he was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But your pride says you'll never catch me acting like you act in church. You'll never catch me leaping for joy and running to an altar. I don't want my children to know that I'm a grown man. And I'm crying and I'm running in an altar. Listen to me. Norman Schwarzkopf said in the Desert Storm War, whenever he was interviewed by Larry King, who is it that really scares you? And the commander-in-chief, amen, the general of our nation, said, I'm only afraid of one man, and that's the man that cannot cry, because he's proud, and nothing can hurt him, nothing can get down to him, amen, nothing gets under his fifth rib, and really irritates him, amen. But let me tell you tonight, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost, and you can't get the Holy Ghost, you need to kill your flesh, you need to say, God, I'm going to do something I've ever done so I can get something I've never had. Hey, amen. I'm winding up right now. It's pride, pride, pride. My heart replied, oh, God, I see now. Oh, God, I see how that little kite resembles me. I wanted to fly on my own, forgetting that by thee I stand. Oh, impatient of thy ruling hand. I had to do it my own way. Elvis Presley sang, I did it my way. If he'd have stayed in doing it God's way, he may still be alive tonight. Frank Sinatra sang it too. Amen. If they did it their way, it had to be their way. But if they just would have did it God's way, amen, they might still be here tonight and they might still be singing gospel music. That was the roots. Amen. But they had to do it their way. I had to do it my way. Impatient of thy ruling hand, I've tried to break the lines. Thy wisdom for my lot of signs. How oft indulged in vain desires for something more and something higher. But pride, you're going to have a fall. Because if it had not been for grace and love divine, a fall thus dreadful had been mine. God, give us men who are faithful in this generation. A man looked at me not too long ago and said, I'll come to your church. And I know you're the only church in this city where I've got to go to be right with God. And very soberly and very seriously looked at me, but he said, this mustache right here on my face, I can't come back to your church because you won't let me wear it. And his pride said, I won't shave this little mustache because you won't let me come to your church. And pride has taken him to hell. And pride has taken a marriage and a family to hell. Amen. It's pride that paints the face. It's pride that adorns the flesh with gold and silver. It's pride that masks. It's pride. It's pride. Amen. Somebody tonight, this Holy Ghost message is for you. And this one little word, pride, had better be killed tonight. Amen. If there's one thing that I felt right here in this service the past few moments that I've felt in a long time, and that's a spirit of conviction. Amen. It's thick, so thick you could cut it with a knife right now. Amen. And as hard as I'm preaching to you, the devil is talking to you harder right now. You're too good to listen to that preacher. You're too good to obey them that have the rule. You're too good to submit yourselves. You're too good. You're proud. You're proud, the devil said. Amen. You better kill your pride tonight. The reason the devil's fighting you so hard. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is talking to you. You know who I'm talking to. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The reason the devil's fighting you so hard right now is because the key to your children is you killing your pride. The key to your grandchildren being in this church and walking on streets of gold is you killing your pride in the next few moments. Amen. Does somebody want to come tonight? Are you too big? Are you too proud? Are you too gaudy? Amen. Because I got news for you. One day every knee is going to bow.
Here I am, Lord.
I want to preach to you tonight and tell you every tongue is going to confess. Why don't you bow and confess tonight?
Here I am.